righty, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM. And Arsenio Hall is with us. Always nice to see you.
I think MTV vetted Russell Brand a little more extensively than McCain did Sarah Palin.
Probably.
He did that quick, didn't he? But it's working. I mean, I can't, you know, argue with success. It's working. It's I'm excited.
Yes.
I'm actually thinking about voting for
Obama. All right, folks. There's a lot of guys in the audience, including myself and Arsenio Hall. And we all are, you know, we all pretend like we're, you know, great chefs out at the barbecue. But that is, the barbecue is a man's place in the world. I very rarely see a woman barbecue. Hey. Except for maybe this woman sitting across me.
Really?
Ladies and gentlemen, Chef Jamie Gwen, everybody.
Thank
How you,
you
doing,
Conway.
Baby?
I'm good, baby. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. I'm
so
doing
glad
excellent.
To be here once again.
I like the way she smells after she grills.
Yeah.
You know, it's that smoky smell.
I'm looking for that in a man. It's not perfume, baby. It's ribeye.
Yeah. And you've got, you're really a cook. I mean, you're really a chef, right?
I have a culinary degree to prove it.
Yeah.
But I spend a lot of time at the grill and at the stove and, you know, testing recipes and making sure that those that I post on the website and share on the radio here are right on so that you too can master the grill, so that you too can master that recipe. Because I think it's all about the confidence of going into the kitchen, seriously, and knowing, like those meatball sliders I brought you, they're right. Going to turn out every time.
Yeah, no, you gave me a great recipe. I tried it home and I got about 90% there, but it was still great.
But Tim,
I'll come over next time.
She mentioned being a chef. Why is pastry such a weird, specialized world? Your game.
It's funny, Arsenio. I'm so glad to meet you.
Oh, it's a pleasure to meet you.
It's my pleasure.
Really,
thank you. I've got some sliders working, guys. Don't think that I didn't walk in without something to feed you with, you know.
Yeah, and tequila shots.
And some Hatch chili tequila shots.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. It's football season
Randy had one and threw up. Did you throw
up? And tailgating.
I'm going to eventually.
You are.
From my tequila. That has nothing to do with my tequila, does it?
Nah. It's
tequila.
Just any tequila.
Because I ate the same thing he ate, the peppers.
And you're looking just radiant.
I'm fine.
You're looking radiant,
yes,
Arsenio.
Thank you very much.
Your chili's coming, Conway.
He ran out of the room like he was wanted on some offenses.
Yeah.
It's a good question you asked, though. My mother is a pastry chef without a degree, but a very talented one. And I attribute her success and talent to patience because she can measure a quarter of a teaspoon of salt 10,000 times calmly while humming. And me on about the third, put the salt in and move on. But I can cook anything from, you know, an empty cabinet. It's just a very different specialty. And like you asked, pastry is a whole different world than culinary.
Because I know great chefs who say, oh, no, I don't mess with pastry.
No, my mom makes dessert.
Yeah, you know, my stepmother is a great cook, Charlene, and my grandmother was a great cook as well. And when I watch my stepmother cook, and she cooks the best Italian food in the world.
You've said that.
I never, ever, ever see her measuring anything.
No.
There's never a cup out or a tablespoon or teaspoon.
Right.
Everything is just thrown in and it's always the same. I don't know how people do it. And I think that's a lost art. And I also believe that it's one of the reasons why, and not the sole reason, of course, but one of the reasons why the divorce rate is so high, because maybe your generation, and you might even be in the exception, because I bet you cook a lot more than most of your friends.
Most.
But women don't cook anymore. The mothers have not passed that skill down through generations.
And I feel guilty even talking about it, but it's so important. But I feel like an old fashioned fogey saying, best way to my heart is through my mouth.
No, the best way to your heart is through your heart, but I'm going to start at your stomach.
Right.
Yeah.
But it is true.
It is a dying art. I agree. Although it's coming back. I mean, we've seen the advent of the Food Network and big time chefs, and people have a passion for cooking. I mean, on Sunday mornings here on the radio, my listeners, they are diehard food lovers, and they're savvy.
You know what, Jamie? I went to a place called, what's that strip club
Vietnam?
By the airport? the Vietnam strip bar.
What? He's going to tell me about the food at a strip club,
isn't
he?
No,
it's called LA Strippers. I met one
stripper out there that says she could cook.
Really?
You know, and that's, you know, what kind of percentage is that?
Is that what I'm doing wrong?
Yeah.
Is there a camera in this studio? Would that increase my audience on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m?
Probably. Probably.
You think?
If you cooked while holding onto a pole?
Yeah, you betcha, man.
I might need to change my seat from where you sit there.
Yeah, but you know, there's another thing that bothers me. If you watch infomercials and you see these, you know, have you ever had trouble cooking pasta? Well, here's Pasta Cure, Pasta Fast, right? And it shows you, it's like a plastic tub and you throw hot water in the pasta in.
Right.
And it's perfect pasta every
time.
Right,
and you wait 3 days.
Right.
And nothing happens.
But a lot of people say, you know, well, it's the easy, fastest way to make pasta. I'm like, well, who the Christ is spending, you know, if you put it into the plastic pasta maker,
right.
It takes 8 minutes. If you boil it, it takes 10 minutes.
See, that's what I'm saying. You put on a pot of water, you drop the pasta in after you've seasoned it well and it tastes like, you know, salt water. And 8 minutes later, you've got something far better than what you're talking about. But that applies to these burgers, too.
Right.
It's three ingredients. I mean, how hard is it to make a really tasty, delicious meal when you buy the best quality ingredients and you spend a few minutes putting a little love into it?
Yeah, and I hear you with Bristol Farms all the time.
That's right.
Yeah,
and in fact, it was, I do, I'm a fan. And it was Hatch Chili Fest a couple of Sundays ago. We did a live broadcast, in fact, from Bristol Farms in Newport Beach along with Melissa's Produce. I always bring you something new and different.
Yeah.
In New Mexico, the Hatch Chili Festival just happened. In fact, just near the border of Texas, they grow a Hatch Chili. 6 week growing season, and mm-hmm. that is the chili you ate, Arsenio.
It was good.
And it was roasted.
It wasn't hot. It wasn't hot, but the tequila was overwhelming, and I think that's what sent Randy out of the room like a girl.
Yeah, probably. Like, although you can get medium and hot Hatch chilies. I think they have some heat to them, but different than Tabasco or a particular hot sauce favorite. The Hatch chili has heat that is round almost in its flavor that fills your mouth, but it doesn't draw down your throat, so it doesn't ruin all the other tastes.
Jamie, my people are from Alabama.
Oh, all right.
When you say hot, we talk about a whole nother
level.
Yeah,
I should have brought some habaneros.
My dad's from Georgia. My mom's from Alabama.
All right, I'm going to have to bring him some chilies,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you got to work me. Yes. And by the way, bring me good food for good times.
You got it, and I've got Bountiful Buffets here for you.
Is that the new one?
The new book is out, yes.
How do we get your products? Because I never see them on the internet.
You can find the products, well, everything through ChefJamie.com, as Tim knows, although I bring him, you have a whole slew of Chef Jamie stuff,
yeah.
Just because I like to visit,
and
ChefJamie.com will lead you to HSN, Home Shopping Network, where you can find the spice rubs that I'm cooking with. In fact, during the break, I'm going to go out and make you guys some sliders.
The spice rub, can you use them for massages with the one you love?
Oh, definitely. That'll get the stripper right to your home.
Take some of that stripper perfume.
Works every time.
All right.
My radio producer, Lana, and mom is on the internet looking for a poll. You know
perfect.
That.
All right, let me give you the phone numbers here. If you have a question for Jamie Gwen, and again, there are a lot of guys out there, a lot of girls, a lot of guys out there, guys especially, who use that barbecue a lot, which I do. Even through the winter, you can barbecue here in Southern California. But if you have a question on how to make that meal better, that steak better, the pork chops, whatever, here are the phone numbers. 520-9710. That's 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Now, I got a question for you. When I cook a steak, I never do it as well as Ruth's Chris. You know, they come
out. That is a good steak.
They come out with a very juicy steak every
time.
You need
more butter.
Yeah. How can they do it every time and I can't do it ever?
Well, there's a couple of tips to making a great steak, and the same applies to these sliders or any protein or meat for that matter. One, the meat is as close to room temperature as possible before it goes in the pan or on the grill. Because the closer it is to room temperature, the more evenly it's going to cook all the way through. So when you want black and blue, seared on the outside, just dead on the inside, or that medium rare steak perfectly pink all the way through, or that perfectly cooked medium where it isn't charred on the outside too dark and that center still juicy, it's all about the temperature of the steak when it goes on the grill or in the pan. It's also really generously seasoned when you get a steakhouse steak.
Right.
It goes on a hot plate, and like Arsenio said, heat some unsalted butter. I actually have a new favorite butter, and while I always recommend unsalted butter for cooking, it's
Land
salted.
O'Lakes.
No, Yeah, close. Kerrygold, it's called, Arsenio. Oh. It's an Irish butter. It comes in a gold wrapper. It's actually salted, but not heavenly. It's heavenly. It has great flavor. Heat it in a small saucepan on top of the stove until it's just bubbling. The water will evaporate, and when you're taking that steak off the grill, the other trick, Tim, is to let it rest. It needs to rest to allow the juices to recirculate. Before you serve it, you pour that hot butter over it, mm-hmm. and you've got a Ruth's Chris steak.
That's great. That's
home.
A great tip. Look at that.
Okay, I need just one little bit of help with my George Foreman grill.
Mm-hmm.
As convenient as it is to cook and clean,
yes.
I never get good burgers. What is the problem? And I love George Foreman, you know, just like I love the gays. You know, but
yeah. And Obama.
What's up?
Me too.
What's the problem with the Foreman grill?
I think the Foreman grill is a great tool if you want to cook leaner and cleaner. You did?
Yeah, I don't like the taste of it, and I don't like the cleanup.
And I don't
Other
like
that
you can't
fine.
Regulate yeah, yeah. the heat.
And doesn't it dry out the meat?
I think it does. I'm cooking these sliders in a pan on top of the stove. You can do them on a griddle. You can do them on your barbecue as well. And it just depends. I find that more often than not, you're putting a lean cut of meat on the George Foreman grill and expecting a lot more than it can deliver.
Mm-hmm.
These burgers are a mix of chuck and sirloin. Sometimes I like to mix sirloin and brisket, ground brisket from the butcher or Bristol Farms. Oh, yeah.
You.
And it's the fat in the meat, everything in moderation, that keeps that meat juicy. I don't know that it's always about the George Foreman.
All right, and Chef Jay McGuinn is with us. What is the best cut of steak out there for the grill? Is it New York?
It could be in New York, but I'm a Delmonico or a Spencer steak or porterhouse kind of girl because I like the T-bone, the filet, that little filet that's like my treat, you know, in the marrow in between the T-bone
you
era.
Eat that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
marrow.
Would you go through the depression?
Would you like some government cheese? I got some in my car. It's real hard.
Went through the Great Depression down in Newport.
Depends on your style. You're looking for great flavor. Get a well-marbled ribeye on the bone. And throw that on the grill.
You so a need little fat is good.
A little fat is great.
That's what the marble for.
A nice, well-marbled steak, nice and bright red when you buy it. I like to age my own steaks.
How do you do that? In the refrigerator?
In the refrigerator, second refrigerator preferably, the one in the garage where you're not exposing all the other food and milk and eggs and, you know, everything you eat on a daily basis to that open
right.
meat. On a sheet pan or a cookie sheet with a rack so that the air can circulate all the way around. I do it for my prime rib. And leave them in there 24, 48 hours.
Uncovered.
They're actually going to age, and it actually seals in the juice and gives you that aged flavor. And it's
does the meat
the
turn
biggest
brown
thing.
Instead of that?
No, it will stay bright red. Don't open the refrigerator 7,000 times.
Okay.
Can you now? What about marinating a steak? How long should you do that, and what should you use?
If you're marinating a steak, you probably didn't buy the best cut you could afford. If you're buying a great cut and good quality meat, no need to marinate. Unless you're looking to impart flavor. If you're making a stir fry and you want that flavor of sesame oil and soy sauce, and maybe you're making flank steak quickly with some garlic and ginger. But if you've bought a good porterhouse T-bone ribeye New York, then you're seasoning with my Chef Jamie spice rubs, your favorite spice rub, or kosher salt and freshly ground pepper right before it goes on
so
the
heat. So if you're soaking a steak, that means you bought it at like Big Lots.
They sell steak at Big Lots?
Or John's or something.
That's where I get mine.
Yeah?
All right.
That's your George Foreman problem.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Yeah.
I get my butter there too.
Now, a lot of, Chef Jamie Gwen is with us, a lot of restaurants will serve the baked potato, and it'll be in foil. Do they cook it in the foil?
They do for a good 2-3 hours at
at what degree?
Medium-low heat, preferably about 325, 350. You
this
can start a little
Arsenio
higher.
And I, are both
I was just
going to
say, Arsenio is jotting notes with a bowling pencil.
Yeah, I'm not going to let Tim out barbecue
my ass. Have you been playing
ass.
Miniature golf recently?
I got him.
We're on the other ends of the spectrum when it comes to politics. When it comes to food, it's like, you got that?
No notes when we were talking about Obama.
I'm flattered, really, gentlemen. I'll take minutes from this show and put them on my website for you.
I got one other question. What's the obsession in our society with the word vetted and sliders? Those two words are used a lot more these days.
Yes, sliders.
Sliders. I'm all about a slider, and I brought you sliders because you
can... What is a slider? What's the definition of a slider?
A definition of a slider. Well, originally, the slider was created because they took a burger and made a miniature size of it, and they would slide them on the plate, and there were more than, you know, two or three, say, and you could have a whole meal rather than a big burger. Well, the slider today has become a little of everything. I have a meatball slider. Today, I'm making you a chuck and sirloin, a blended, what I call blended beef slider, caramelized onions, an alioli.
That's the onions that kind of look like boogers.
Yeah, and they taste so delicious.
I love
I made some aioli or roasted garlic mayonnaise. I'm going to spread it. I've got some sharp cheddar. I also like Gruyere. And I've got a sweet Hawaiian bun I'm going to toast for you. Now, the trick to this is for tailgating.
And by the way, I brought Imodium for everybody.
After the tequila. Oh, and I have beer, maple, smoked baked beans for you because I was preparing for football season. Know what I love about a slider? One, you can talk on the radio and hold it with one hand and still jot notes with the other.
Mm-hmm.
But also for football, for all you football fanatics and chili heads like you, Arsenio, you hold the burger with one hand and you root for your team with the other.
There you go.
So, you know, you get multiple burgers.
Let me take another note here. So, baked potatoes, 3 hours.
Couple hours.
325.
Yeah, couple hours,
now, but
yeah.
You know what I also like is the baked potato, you throw it in, no foil, 500 degrees for an hour and 20 minutes, and the shell is really hard.
It is, and try taking the baked potato, poke it with a fork so it doesn't explode or burst, of course. By the way, that old wives' tale is true.
Right.
My mother, Lana, taught me, and we still do it today.
I do that, too.
Rub it with some olive oil. Heavily season it with kosher salt, then put it in the foil. You've got a salt-crusted baked potato, and that salt seeps in and flavors or seasons that baked potato. When it comes out, peel the foil off. You can actually do this on the barbecue. You've got enough propane or charcoal. You fire up the barbecue well in advance. You keep one side hot. That's where you sear the steaks. One side at medium. That's where you move them over and let them to continue to cook to the desired temperature. Those baked potatoes stay on the grill the entire time. The half hour before, the half hour after, you've got a mean grilled baked potato.
I have no idea why you're a single woman. All right, Chef Jamie Gwen is with us. We'll take some of your phone calls when we come back.
And by the way, littleminx.com if you want a portable strip pole for your kitchen.
You are a wealth of knowledge, Mr. Hall.
Arsenio owns the site. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show with Arsenio Hall. Chef Jamie Gwen joins us. We're live on 97.1 Free FM. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM. Arsenio Hall is with us every Wednesday.
Hey, Tim, I just bit my slider, and I did want to look up the word. It says a baseball pitch somewhere between a curveball and a fastball.
That's amazing, huh?
Yeah.
Chef Jamie Gwen joins
that
us.
That was my next definition. Yeah.
And let's take some calls here. People need some help here.
Damn,
Otis.
It's tequila. Ooh.
How is it?
Woo!
Warms the cockles of your heart.
It smells like formaldehyde, but man, is it good.
That is roasted hatch chili tequila. That's a punch. Christ.
This smells like the stuff that you spill at the gas station and you have to go back home and shower.
That's perfect for 10, 20,
Ooh.
7.
Yeah, the cops just let you go. You're like, wow, man, you smell like you're about to die.
I'm going to end up with a joint in a pool with Randy someplace in the valley. This stuff is crazy.
Otis and Rancho Cucamonga, you're on the air.
Thank you.
Hey, Arsenio Hall, what's that, boy?
What's up, dog? How you doing? How you doing, dog?
Hey, what's going on, boy?
Hey.
Dad, coming to America, we'll have something funny, boy. Well, you was a fool.
Thanks for calling, man. Wait, let me get another bite of my slider. Hold on.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
What do you got, Otis?
Man, I got the best barbecue on this side of the Mississippi.
Oh, really, Otis?
Can I ask you a question? Will I need teeth to eat your beef?
Oh, boy, you need a straw to eat my beef, boy.
Oh.
Do you make the best barbecue, Otis, or do you have somewhere we can go?
No, I make the best barbecue.
And where do you live? No, don't tell us. I'm teasing. I always joke about that on the radio. I'm coming to your house.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I see you talk about that barbecue chicken. I make that chicken, the links.
First of all, pork ribs. Anybody who don't mess with pork, I'm suspect of them.
I know. I don't like beef ribs.
Hey, pork fat rules.
Otis, hold on one sec. We're going to send you a pair of tickets to see Chivas USA. They battle the Kansas City Wizards at the Home Depot Center on September 27th. Visit CD Chivas USA for all your latest in Major League Soccer action. So good luck with that, Otis. John in Huntington Beach, you're on 97.1 Free FM. Chef Jamie Gwen joins us.
Thank you.
Hi, I got a ribeye. It's a little over an inch. It's got bone on.
Lucky you.
I like it, you know, medium rare, a little red inside. Does the bone cook it, you know, longer after you take it off?
Great question.
Anything with a bone is going to take a little bit longer to cook, and the meat at the bone takes longer than the meat farther to the exterior edges of the cut. So it's going to take a little bit longer, but on the grill, you're going to want to use that hot heat method on one side and the medium on the other side.
And how long do you put it on the hot side? How long do you actually flip it on the hot side?
Well, it just depends on the temperature of your grill. If you fired it up, the perfect way to make steakhouse grill marks, by the way, is to take a point of the meat, mark an end where you notice on that steak, point it toward 11 o'clock when you put it down on the grill, then turn it, point it toward 1 o'clock on a clock. When you turn it over, you get crisscross grill marks.
Right.
But when that steak is seared beautifully, and it's all about patience, leaving it a good 2-3 minutes on that first side, facing 11 o'clock, turn it to 1. It's going to take 4, 5, 6 minutes, depending upon the heat,
on the real hot side. And then you flip it over and continue on the heat?
And you continue on the heat. Once it's seared on both sides, you move it to the medium heat area of the barbecue, and you cook to the desired doneness.
Great tip.
You know that fist? Did I ever teach you the fist method?
I don't think you taught him that.
I don't think
I taught him that either, except
he learned that from Phil Spector.
open mouth, insert foot, right? I just gained a whole new listenership Sunday morning.
Yes.
Okay, make a loose fist. Dan, you still there?
Yeah, he's there.
Okay, good. Make a loose fist.
He's taking notes.
I didn't think I could grasp all of your attention,
but I just did.
Thank you very much. Make a loose fist with your left hand. A loose one, not an angry one.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Then what do you do?
And right in between your first finger and your thumb, there's that soft, fatty part.
If you touch it with your first finger on your right hand.
So your right hand is touching that fatty part in between your first finger and your thumb. You see how soft and tender that is?
Yeah, it's so tender.
That's rare.
Oh, yes, it's rare.
Just a little bit slightly tighter fist.
Oh, tight.
That's medium.
Make it tighter, Jamie. If you have
a really tight fist, that's well done. That's how you learn about a thousand steaks from now.
The temperature of the steak on the grill
when you pull it off.
Oh, it's a hot steak. It's a hot steak, cool.
How come when I barbecue, it never sounds like that?
All right, John, thanks for calling. You're going to get a $20 gift certificate to Circuit City.
Need more tequila.
Look at that, $20 gift certificate to Circuit City. Roll into a Circuit City by October 4th to find out how you can get 4 months of NFL Sunday. That's NFL Sunday ticket, absolutely free of charge. So, John, congratulations, young man. All right, we're going to play you a spot here. I heard this coming into the station one Sunday morning, and we want to bust your balls here a little, Jamie. We've been waiting to do this for a long time.
Have you really?
Here's the spot you were running.
What about their cheese section? Did you know that there are 360 cheeses from around the world? That's one for every day plus 8 extra for Sundays.
How many days do you think are in a year?
I get excited about cheese. I think I miscalculated that one. What about their cheese section? Did you know that there are 360 cheeses from around the world? That's one for every day plus 8 extra for Sundays.
You know, Obama had said earlier that there are 57 cheeses, one for every state.
Yeah, I'm not even going there. There's enough cheese to last you a century.
Gonna bust your chops here.
Pick a cheese, any cheese. Are you a cheese lover, Tim?
I hate cheese. Well, I don't hate cheese. I don't eat a lot of it. Nah, I'm not a big cheese guy.
Oh, and I love cheese. Hey. Open a bottle of wine, put out some cheese, some homemade crackers.
You guys that goes to In-N-Out and gets a hamburger. I don't even get a cheeseburger.
You know what?
Don't I get a double-double?
I think he's denying cheese just because earlier there was a stench in here
that could only be caused.
I heard about that stench on the way in the car here.
Yeah, right.
It had nothing to do with me. I wasn't here yet. I was glad for that.
Dan in Irvine, you're on 97.1 Free FM. How are you?
Hey, how are you? Jamie, how are you?
Hey there.
Hey, of all these cheeses, is Velveeta one of those 360 cheeses?
Oh, yeah. I love Velveeta. I love a cheese that you don't have to put in the refrigerator.
Velveeta is the 27th of February.
There we go. Actually, I did have a question. Jamie, big fans, of course, here. I'm tired of going to these great steakhouses, Roots Chris, Fleming's, Delmonico's in Vegas, and having these unbelievable steaks, fillets that come out sizzling and awesome. Mm-hmm. I gotta put my napkin up because it's sizzling. And then I come home, I try to make a steak for my family. It's like having a Salisbury steak at Denny's.
Right.
I need to have the proper direction on how to make what you'll call a steakhouse steak, but at home.
Well, the steakhouse steak that you're used to is either put under a salamander or cooked in a pan. So we're moving away from the barbecue here. It has nothing to do with those perfect steakhouse grill marks. If you're talking about Ruth's Chris, Fleming's, those kind of places, then you're talking about a steak seared in a pan on the top of the stove. I recommend that you use a good stainless steel or cast iron pan and you bring it to almost smoking hot. Now, I like to add the oil to the pan as it's heating. I like the oil to come up to
what
temperature.
Kind of oil?
You want an oil, great question, Tim, with a smoking point. But you're a good cook, of course.
You,
we
ma'am.
Expect a great question, even after you busted my balls about cheese.
What's a high smoking oil?
A high smoking point oil would be an olive oil has a high smoking point, but canola even higher. Grape seed, a neutral oil, no flavor
walnut
imparted
oil?
At all. No, the flavored oils have a low smoking point. You want to stay away from them.
I see.
Anything you would fry in, vegetable oil, peanut oil, although not my choice to cook with on top of the stove per se if you're searing a steak, but those have high smoking points as well. So I'm going to recommend canola, olive oil, grape seed in a pan on top of the stove, high heat until almost smoking. That steak is at room temperature, seasoned with salt and pepper, your favorite spice rub, goes in the pan till it is seared golden brown or a little bit deeper. That means you walk away, you drink your beer, you do not go and peek, turn it over, lift up the corner.
Or this stuff you brought
from
Chevron.
You drink some roasted Hatch chili tequila.
This is crazy.
Lana is going to make you a whole batch of that. No, Lana's going to make you a whole batch of that and deliver it to your house.
That's insane. I've never touched another drop of it.
And once that steak is seared on the underside, you turn it over. It goes right into a 400-degree oven, and you let it cook, depending upon the thickness of the steak, seared on just one side on top of the stove, because when you turn it over and put it in the oven, the residual heat from the pan is going to cook the underside of the steak so that it's perfect.
So you flip it over, put it in the pan.
You flip it over in the pan,
and then you
take the pan straight to the oven.
And how long does it stay in the oven?
Depending upon the thickness of the meat, you're going to go 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 minutes, depending upon how thick that steak is, till it's cooked to the desired doneness, and then you're going to take out that pan and take the steak out of the pan and let it rest on a plate on the counter. Let the juices recirculate. I like 5 minutes resting time. That allows you to gather all your other... It's still hot, because when you slice it, it is perfectly seared. You know how you have that perfect crust on both sides and that beautiful, juicy, medium rare in the center?
Yes.
Perfect.
Have I made you hungry?
Oh, it's the best. I love steak.
Hey, you mentioned restaurants. I heard you say Fleming's, and I heard you... Which I love, by the
Chris.
Way. You mentioned Ruth Chris.
Yes.
I'm a Fleming's fan. What's the best steak in this city?
The best steak in this city?
Outside of your house.
Best steakhouse.
Cut.
Monty's?
By Wolfgang Puck.
Cut?
Cut. At the Regent Beverly Wilshire Hotel, when you pull in that back driveway on the other side of the ballroom, but when you enter through the hotel entrance, there is a restaurant by Wolfgang Puck called Cut. And they offer a variety of different beef, whether it be Japanese Kobe, American Kobe, domestic. And I will tell you, it is one of the best steaks I have ever had.
You know what I love for prime rib? I love Lowry's.
Spinning salad, prime rib doesn't get any better. And you know, I live in the OC and we have a Five Crowns, which is the same. You get the same popover and the same, you know, horseradish whipped cream and prime rib.
Oh, it's the best.
Right across the street from Lowry's. I know this sounds strange, but Nobu Matsuhisa?
Yeah.
He makes a Kobe steak that'll make you bite your mama.
Yeah, yes, he does. But I never thought about biting my mama. After that cheese comment, maybe. And I'll tell you, there are some great restaurants that don't specialize in steak that have a great steak. You know, Roy Yamaguchi, just on the radio this past Sunday, celebrity chef, creator of Hawaiian fusion, celebrating 20 years of success. It's Hawaiian fusion. fusion food. You expect to have that Asian influence. He's got a great sushi bar, and he makes a mean dry aged steak.
Wait, Roy and Fleming's are next door to each other. Are they owned by the same people in the valley, at least?
They have a partnership under the same umbrella.
Okay. Yeah, let's talk to a Carol here in Simi Valley. You're on 97.1 Free FM. Arsenio Hall is with us, and Chef Jamie Gwen.
Lucky me.
Hello?
Hey, what do you got?
I just wanted to see that a recipe my husband has for soaking the meat. Like
in cider?
All right. Yeah, it's an old
yeah, joke. I got it.
Chris in Northridge, on 97.1 Free FM.
Hey, Jamie, how you doing?
Hey,
Chris.
I just want to remind you that Kerrygold butter, the Irish butter, they sell the unsalted one at Whole Foods.
And how is it?
I eat raw butter. So
you eat raw butter?
Yeah, about two and a half pounds a week.
For fun or sport?
It goes for
cholesterol.
The laxative effect.
It's definitely a lubricating drink.
Jesus Christ. How's your cholesterol?
Never checked.
Why bother?
Good to know.
Wait till you get to 3 pounds a week, and then maybe you should check it out.
But thank you for the tip, Chris, because if anyone knows butter, you do. There's actually some great butters. I know it sounds ridiculous to you to say that I've done my homework and research on butter, but butter is booming. I mean, butter's come a long way. There are really some really wonderful artisan butters on the market today where you can buy butter from around the world. Plou Gras, the European-style butter, has a lower water content.
So Wisconsin doesn't own it anymore? I mean, it's not all about
it's not
the Wisconsin
just cheddar. No, it's not.
Boy.
I mean, there are great butters from around the world, and whether you choose salted or unsalted.
Yeah, I don't think guys care. They just,
slap it on the... Yeah.
Sound like Chris kid. Chris cuts his cocaine with butter. You sound like he cares.
Hey, Chris, hold on one sec. We're going to send you a pair of tickets to the American Daredevils, the Extremely Reckless Stunt Show, happening at the L.A. County Fair September 18th. LACountyFair.com has all the tickets. Hope nobody ever gets hurt at the Extremely Reckless Stunt Show. Because
bring tequila.
They warned you. We told you what it was. Extremely reckless.
Yeah.
And your grandmother got killed. Well, it was right on the ticket there. All right, Chef Jamie Gwen, where's the best butcher in town? Is it Gelson's? Is it Bristol Farms? I am partial.
I'm a Bristol Farms fan, but for good reason. Because their steaks, and this is something important no matter where you shop today, okay? When it comes to cows in this country, there is such a mass quantity of them that they are very hard to regulate. Thank God, but they're very hard to regulate. If you go to some supermarkets that shall remain nameless, if you buy ground beef or even a steak sometimes for that matter, there is no way of tracking where that meat came from.
Mm.
So think about the bacteria contamination. Think about some of the scares and the outbreaks we've had. And think about wanting to know where your meat comes from. Well, I know from doing my homework and from being a fan of Bristol Farms that they actually control their cattle and they watch and regulate the cattle from birth to the steak.
Good for them.
I want to know where it comes from.
It's pretty boring.
Yeah, right. They right on a large tablet piece of paper. I want to know where my steak comes from. I want to be able to follow it. And at the same time, I want to know the quality. So there are
By the way,
I lost didn't I?
You know what? Don't even say anything if it's the wrong answer. Just look at me. But my friend owns Ralph's. Is that a good place for meat?
There are lots of good places for meat. I'm being a diplomat because I'm not talking Obama, McCain, or anything else with you. There are lots of good places for meat. Buy the best quality you can buy
Democrat,
and afford. He is?
Yeah,
well, then wait, I'm going to change my mind. I will say, though, buy the best quality meat that you can. Make sure that you're buying preferably choice, if not prime. If you're looking for an aged steak, then you want to watch the signs, look for exactly what you want to consume and buy that quality.
Okay, all right. Chef Jamie Gwen is with us. Arsenio Hall is with us as well. What about steaks through the mail? Where is the best place to buy one?
Everybody has steaks through the mail. There aren't those old-fashioned butchers anymore. We were talking about, it's hard to find a kosher butcher today, although I happen to love kosher meat. If you can find a kosher butcher and buy kosher chickens or kosher turkey for Thanksgiving coming up, the best. They're brined in salt water. I know we've moved from meat to chicken, but this applies to no matter where you buy them. I mean, you can go to a gourmet supermarket and buy a great cut, no matter what. But through the mail, I mean, everybody has a stake. Trump has stakes today, right? We know Omaha are great.
Omaha's pretty good.
Yeah, and there was just a huge article and a survey done in Savour Magazine, which is a real up-and-up food lover's diehard foodie magazine. And they found a mail-order steak company, I believe called La Sense. I just read an article about it, and they have been proven to have the best tasting, best quality meat by mail order. And I'll post some information on the website at chefjamie.com. Right.
Isn't there a place called like Newport Meats?
Yes.
And do they sell to the public?
No, they sell wholesale to restaurants, and you'll find a lot of restaurants actually buy from Newport
Meat. I heard
they're
very good.
They are. There's a company called Brant Beef. They sell to Salt Creek Grill. I'm a fan. They make a tomahawk 24-ounce steak with a bone that looks like from the Flintstones. Chef Scott Floyd came in here. It is a bone. I'm not kidding, guys.
Bone.
And I'm using, you know, a good 12 inches finger to finger to show you what that tomahawk bone looks like. It is a mean, delicious, flavorful steak. It's perfect for the both of you. You could sit down to a good meal.
Yeah, that's a
Tim kind of steak.
Polish one off.
Yeah, I don't know if Tim is in my category when it comes to quality beef. And you're afraid to drink this drink she brought
I'm
us.
I'm not going
to
drink that. Yeah, why would I drink that?
Hey,
Randy Wang drank one, and he's sweating, almost about to puke.
Yeah.
You drank one, and you look like one of the Jacksons.
I think that's Jermaine
over here. Yeah,
I am.
I've never seen you sweat like that, man.
Yeah, I'm a little shiny. I'm a little all
wrong
right
was,
now.
I thought that was me.
Well,
I've never seen you sweat before,
it's
man.
Partially you.
It's that tequila.
And partially the tequila.
And she tried to give me her glass. She
must be
out of her mind.
Maybe the two of you would come on my show on Sunday mornings here on 97.1. If I bring a thermos of this, will you come?
You could put that in your car, I swear to God, and run your car.
I would like to just put it in my co-host. Why don't you have some of it, man?
He's about to die, and honest to God, you look like you're about to pass out.
Come on, you're from the valley. You're a real man.
He's still breathing.
Sly in Hollywood. You're on 97.1 Free FM.
Hey, Tim, how you doing?
Hey.
And Jamie, how are you?
Hey, Sly.
Of course, I got to say hi to Arsenio. How are you?
Of course.
Okay. What was that?
He's hiccuping from my
about to die.
Roasted Hatch chili tequila. You know, you bring a novelty. You make specialty tequila for the guys, Sly. And what do?
I know. They drink it and die.
Call it Chevron.
Oh, my God. My problem, I am a single parent that it really puts a lot into my cooking. I mean, to me, cooking for somebody is like feeding a flower love. And that's how I do my cooking.
You're my kind of guy, Sly. And kudos to you for being a single parent. My mom raised me single-handedly, and I am forever grateful.
I'm a single dad.
I've been
here, too.
My son was an infant. I raised him.
Good for you.
But what I needed to know was a quick question about making my London broil. It always comes out. So I want it to come out, you know, not... like, for instance, leather. I want it to taste, you know, soft.
Yeah, we're the attempt is always to make sure the steak does not taste like your shoe.
Right.
And I think you're overcooking, and I would attempt the method for a London broil, which is a slightly lesser cut of meat. It's going to cost you a little bit less, so you need to finesse it a little bit more. I would sear it in the pan and finish it in the oven, or it actually is a good cut for braising, which means you throw a bunch of liquid in there, and you braise the meat so that it cooks all the way through, but it stays tender and juicy, and then you slice it thin and pile it like a steak sandwich with some tequila chipotle ketchup.
Damn.
Wow, look at
that. That sounds awesome.
That recipe, actually. Wait, tequila chipotle ketchup, Tim. This is right. That's what I'm bringing next time for you. Tequila chipotle ketchup.
Now, why would you bring him that when he didn't appreciate this?
Because the tequila's
Heinz?
In the sauce. He'll never know. You make a pan sauce with 5 ingredients after you sear the steak. And the recipe is on the back of the food section in the LA Times and the Bristol Farms ad today.
All right. Now, I got a question for you. Chef Jamie Gwen is with us. For guys who want to make, and actually, Jack Silver, our program director, is very good at this. He makes like great chicken wings.
I heard he's a really good cook.
Yeah, he's pretty good at the grill. But how do you make great chicken wings? You know, you got a party, you're watching a football game.
When it comes to ribs and chicken wings, although
just
I'm not
go to
a
Hooters.
I'm not. That's a good idea. They have a great pitcher of sangria, hot wings, extra blue cheese. I'm there.
Really? Okay.
Okay.
Wait, let me write
this
that down.
It's a date.
All right, chicken wings.
Great
Come
chicken
on,
wings. I actually think that chicken wings should start in the oven and be finished on the grill. Although they have great smoky flavor on the grill, they tend to dry out if you're not quickly, if you're not watching them or you're not quickly, you know, concerned about them at the tail end of their cooking. So I like to marinate my chicken wings. That's something I marinate. Raspberry chipotle marinade, your favorite mix of citrus, throw in some fresh herbs, some garlic, some red pepper flakes. Those need to marinate to infuse the flavor.
Wait, where, right. where can I get that? Which one of your books has that in it? Because that was too much to write.
We're going to get you all the books, Arsenio. Like, all of them.
After you had that drink you made, I'm like, there's some chipotle.
Tim, why is he holding the bowling pencil the wrong way?
Because he's about to die.
My shoes have the size on the back.
I like to marinate
my damn pencil.
I'm getting back to wings because Tim is staring me down. I like to marinate the wings, either roast them off 3/4 of the way through and finish them on the grill with some sweet barbecue glaze, or cook them medium all the way through on the barbecue and continuously toss them so they don't get charred and they don't dry out on particular sides. It's about the flavor.
All right, now real quickly, because I'm a simple effing guy, meat and potatoes. What's the best way to make French fries?
The best way to make French fries, this is, what is it, grill the chef day?
Well, Stump you the probably chef. Know. Come on, baby.
I'm loving this. Can
you,
I come
you
back
deep
tomorrow?
Fry them in oil? What do?
You deep fry them in oil.
We're going to be at your house when you get home. The hell is tomorrow.
Back to that high smoking point oil, vegetable oil, good flavor, canola oil, if you're trying to be a bit more conscious. But why? If you're eating fried food, everything in moderation, it's about the double frying. What do? You set the fryer or that thermometer to 325. You single fry those sliced, whether it's a russet or your favorite potato on a mandolin with a knife, waffle cut, straight cut, up to you. You single fry them until they're not golden, but just tender at 325. You take them out, you bring the oil up to 375, and you double fry them. You throw them back until they're golden brown.
Who has time for that?
Wow. Yeah,
and by the way,
that's what makes a great French fry.
Is that what McDonald's does?
No.
No.
Stick them in that oil.
That oil, McDonald's can hardly find the fry icon on the cash register.
That oil is from 3 years ago. That's why it tastes good.
Yeah, but that's why it's so great. Oil,
yeah,
you should keep that oil around.
Yeah, and you should actually skim it or strain it through a coffee filter or cheesecloth. Die hard foodies do this. And then make sure you season those fries or potato chips while they're hot. As soon as they come out onto a paper bag or paper towel lined plate, paper plate even.
Why doesn't McDonald's sell their oil? They should do that so we can all make great fries at home.
Should be a bottle of dirty oil you can buy with your McNuggets.
I'm going to go register that domain when I get home.
Bottle of dirty oil.
.com.
All right, Chef, thanks for coming in. You're the best. Listen to our show every Sunday at 9 o'clock.
Tim, thank you.
Right here on 97.1 Free FM, Arsenio Hall and I will return in a second. And we're live on 97.1 Free FM. Thanks, baby.
Thank you. More sliders on the way.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM. Always a great Wednesday night with Arsenio Hall, and I can't thank you enough, buddy.
This was fun, and I'll see you next week.
Yeah, that's sensational of you to come by. Joining us at 11 o'clock every night, or a little before 11 o'clock, are John and Jeff from the John and Jeff Show. What's happening, fellas?
Hey, guys.
What's up, guys?
What's going
on
with that?
John and Jeff!
Yeah, what's going on with that big show tonight?
7 years ago, 9/11.
Oh, that's right, tomorrow.
So at the stroke of midnight, we're going to be talking about 9/11, and we're going to play back some of the news footage as it was reported live. So we'll rewind 7 years ago.
And you guys what station were you on when that happened?
Actually, we were on vacation, and we cut vacation short, and I was in Rhode Island broadcasting from my parents' basement, and Jeff was here with Krista, who now works for Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. Mm-hmm. And so our vacation ended, and it was...
And it was such a blur during that time, going on the air and talking about it as it happened, as you know.
You know, the most compelling coverage, and this is going to sound weird, but the most compelling coverage was Howard Stern's. You remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Very interesting what was going on in history.
And you remember what Robin did that night?
That night?
Yeah, that night. and they talked about the next day on the air, she went to her bowling league, and she was surprised that nobody showed up.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And right, she's John, a newswoman.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. All right, John and Jeff are coming up next. Arsenio, thank you very much, buddy. You're a major, major stud.
I'll see you soon, man.
And let's we'll go finish see you next Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
All right, it is Tim Conway Jr. right after Like is tomorrow on 97.1 Free FM.